back to the Saturday Splash
with Lynn
and Maddie
and Patricia. We talked her into staying another segment.
Hi.
Hey. So I have a pressing question. What's the buzz on pollinators? Thanks. I'll be here all show.
Awesome. What is pollination? Patricia, you can answer that question. What is pollination?
Well, my busy bees, pollination is essential, right? All the food and flowers and all the fruits and vegetables that we enjoy locally produced, all are a result of that magical pollination.
And to be very technical, the act of pollination occurs when pollen grains are moved between two flowers of the same species by wind or animals. Successful pollination results in the production of healthy fruit and fertile seeds, allowing plants to reproduce.
You know, here's a fun fact. If you look and you go to the grocery store and you always find those just, I'm a gala girl. So when I look for apples, I just find those beautiful, shiny, well-shaped apples. Those are a result of a complete pollination. And if you count them, and this is a fun thing to do with your kids or grandkids, you should always find about 10 seeds in a fully pollinated fruit. But if you ever buy organic or local, or you go out to the orchard and you pick yourself, sometimes you're going to get some not so perfectly shaped apples, and they're a little lopsided or a little small. Or if you cut those open, they're a result of incomplete fertilization. And a lot of times they'll have anywhere between 5 and 8 seeds instead.
So what I'm learning then is that incompletely pollinated apples are good for not getting seeds in your teeth, but they're not good to keep things going. And
well,
for
you might
a delicious,
use them for baking
tasty
instead of.
Apple.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Not
so,
as
so bake with the weird looking apples.
There you go.
Yeah.
They're not weird. They're unique.
But so, you know, one of the things, pollen gets a bad rap, right? I take Zyrtec every season and different things, you know, whether it be grass pollens or tree pollens or fruit trees or vegetable pollens. But I think the biggest culprits for those are the tree and grass pollens, are the ones that give us the runny noses and the itchy eyes.
And hay fever.
And the hay fever. But it is important, and it's amazing when I do a lot of work with 4-H and youth development, and it's amazing to me how these kids don't recognize that any flowering plant has to go through pollination in order to produce those fruits and seeds.
So they say, thank you, pollen.
Thank you. And we should thank pollinators as well. And pollinators, you know, a lot of people think the first thing when you say pollinator, what's the first thing that you think of?
Gotta be a bee.
Honeybees, right? Or,
yeah.
You know, bumblebees, that. But and the bees are pollinators, but so are some other insects that we may not be like big fans of, like hornets and wasps. They
right.
Pollinate.
Ants. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Ants. Mm-hmm. Birds.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Animals are pollinators, which is a very interesting thing. So like as the bear walks through the woods or through your cornfield, why would you have bears in a cornfield? Not sure about
because
that.
Because of all the corn.
Because of all the corn. Because they like, bears will eat anything. So
right. Well, it is interesting. Some plants, like mentioned before, like you guys said, that some plants are wind pollinated.
Mm-hmm.
And some plants.
So it doesn't even have to be an animal right. to be a pollinator. We can be a pollinator. If you pick pollen up on your skin or your clothes or your fur, or your whatever animal parts you have, and you transport it to another place, you are a pollinator.
This is true. And pollen, if you've ever seen one, like under magnification, under a microscope, it's got really distinct shape for being that kind of sticky to your clothes, to your fur, to enable that transport. But bees, yeah, we always think of bees. Butterflies are a really popular one.
Bats. That's one. I mean, you don't think about that a lot, but bats are big pollinators.
No,
absolutely.
We do an annual essay contest, and when we did our essay contest, not this year but last, the subject was pollinators, and that was the thing that it seemed every 5th through 8th grader wrote about. Was I think that they were freaked out by the fact that bats are pollinators. So every one of them mentioned it in their essay. And Did you know bats are pollinators too?
Pollinators of the night.
Yeah, that's right. Actually, that was the title of one of the essays, Pollinators of the Night. Yeah, and I was waiting for vampires.
Flies are also sort of not normally thought of when you think of pollinators. And again, like ants and even some terrestrial non-flying creatures.
Yeah. And the thing that I think people too, you know, I didn't realize before I started looking at the information on it, is that worldwide there's approximately 1,000 plants that are grown for food, beverages, all sorts of different things that rely on pollinators. We would not have them if they were not pollinated. And one of two of the big ones for me, coffee and chocolate.
Mm. Oh, wow. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I also like, you know, potatoes, pumpkin, vanilla, mm-hmm. all that kind of stuff, but coffee and chocolate. Mm-hmm. If I did not have coffee and chocolate, there would be trouble.
Well, you know, in sort of like those, a lot of commercial operations that are grown in greenhouses on a large scale don't have bats flying around or hummingbirds or butterflies and bees flying around inside their greenhouses. So they actually will pay people to take paintbrushes and pollinate by hand.
Yeah.
I have a note here that talks about farmers. We have, for those of you who don't know, we have an issue with pollinators. Pollinators are on the decline right now, and they're disappearing. And it's for a couple of reasons. One is loss of habitat, because mankind is growing, and they're plowing over fields that these insects and these creatures would normally be in. But there's also something called colony collapse disorder. And so far, nobody has really determined what is causing this disorder. But what happens is, especially with the bees, this is bee specific, that the queen, all the bees just disappear. And the immature bees and the queen, they're left there all by themselves. And then the hive winds up dying. And what's happening, and the interesting thing is, I didn't know, farmers actually rent bees to pollinate their crops.
They do. That's a big business. So, in fact, our South Carolina State Farm of the Year this year is a beekeeper. And yes, that is a big part of the business. It's not just honey production or the product of beeswax, but it is actually sending the hives out on a flatbed truck to a farming area and having them pollinate.
I have no idea. It's so fascinating. So what can we do to help pollinators?
You can reduce the use of your insecticides is one way. You know, be selective on what you're choosing to spray on your landscape and in your garden. And in fact, I have to give the plug. I love my friends at Greenville Soil Water Conservation District. They have some great information and some knowledgeable folks. And then the NRCS is a good source of information. And of course, Clemson Cooperative Extension has fact sheets on their home garden information center on this type of topic.
Yeah, it's interesting. We do stormwater education at the district, and pesticide and herbicide use is actually one of the things that can pollute our stormwater as well, because, you know, you're putting a pesticide on your plants or your lawn or wherever you're putting it, and the intent is to kill bugs. So some of these bugs that could die, they're pollinators.
That's true.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so they can, and then...
Yeah, Roundup doesn't know the difference between the good honeybees and the bad grass weeds.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's mm-hmm. right. So other things, what can we do to make our space pollinator friendly?
Ooh, pollinator gardens. You can, in addition to reducing the amount of chemicals that you're using, you can increase the amount and types of plants that you're using. So you can plant your pollinator gardens, make moderate use of your pesticides and herbicides. You can build bat boxes and bird boxes at your house. And water is key. Make sure that you have a water source for your wildlife.
Yeah, and it's interesting. We talk about water and standing water, and we want to keep standing water out of our yards because, you know, mosquitoes can grow and their larvae grow in standing water. But on the other hand, we need some standing water for our pollinators. So what's the answer to that? I think it's to make sure that you don't leave it standing for a long time, that you keep refreshing that water.
Mm-hmm. Refreshing that water on a regular basis is a great suggestion. And also, you can create like pollinator puddling sites or butterfly puddling sites by having a very shallow dish filled with gravel or decorative stones. And that will actually, moving water also prohibits the growth of those biting insect larvae, mosquito larvae.
Yeah, because I'm one of those people that's sensitive to mosquito bites. If there's
a
mosquito...
Well, because you're so sweet, Lynn.
That's right. It's because I'm all made of sugar and spice. No, but if there's a mosquito within a 5-mile range, it will land on my arm. So we would like to stop stop that. But, you know, one of the things is native plants as well. They're really important because that's what our pollinators like. You know, one of the things that was really surprising to me is knockout roses. I have them all around my house and they're not doing so well. And I'm not sad about that because I'm eventually going to pull them out and replace them. Because the thing that I did not know, I thought, oh, roses, that'd be so wonderful. The bumblebees will love them. No, they're not really interested in knockout roses at all because they've been genetically engineered to be beautiful and to have a lot of flowers on them, but they don't really do anything for our pollinators.
Nope. So they look pretty.
They look pretty.
That's about it.
That's about
There's
it.
There's a lot of plants that you have that are pollinator friendly out there.
Yeah, so choosing native plants as opposed to non-native ornamental plants is very helpful. And you can plant flowers, lots of wild flowers. You can make a whole pollinator meadow if you've got the space for it.
Yeah, replace your lawn with a pollinator meadow. That would be so awesome and beautiful.
I'm all for
it. I would love it.
And then you'd have flowers too.
Yay. So we will also have information on this on our website, SaturdaySplash.com. We will have a list there from the Xerces Society, which is all about pollinators and bees, and they will let us know. There's a list there of what plants are native to the Southeast, so you can go there and find out, and that's fabulous. We'll actually put links to everything that we've talked about today.